and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
Sonoma Sun FM presents, live from Sonoma, California.
Which, of course, in German means a whale's vagina.
Tim Livingston.
Hey, big time Timmy Jim, what's up?
Pete Livingston.
My name? Peter.
And Sam Livingston.
I hate rabbits.
Taking you into Mondays the only way they know how. With love.
I love you, kick puncher!
Los Livingston Brothers on Sonoma Sun FM, KSVY 91.3, Sonoma.
I don't believe in modern medicine.
I believe in...
Do you have nagging aches and pains and wonder if something can be done to help?
And can you turn on my headphones, please?
Sonoma Valley Hospital has created a special aches and pain clinic.
Yeah.
To help you learn what your body is trying to tell you and what you can do. Lectures are scheduled on Tuesday, January 28th from 6 to 7 p.m. and Wednesday, January 29th from 2 to 3 p.m. There's no cost, but you need to reserve a spot. For more information, contact the hospital's physical therapy department at 935-5345. That's 935-5345.
I need a massage.
45.
They could all use a massage. Wait, is that what the service was?
A massage.
Was?
A Swedish massage. How's my audio? Is it okay? It seems...
A little bit. Hold on.
It seems funky. Do you need to hit other buttons?
No, I think I can only do so much. I actually might have to just bring you down.
Really?
Oh my, did we announce...
Check and see if it's facing you.
It is.
Okay.
No, it is.
The bacon cheddar. Bacon.
Is it quiet?
No, it's fine.
It sounds distorted.
It is a little distorted.
That's bull. So, I thought we got it fixed.
So did I.
All right,
you sound like that cool, like, hip, that voice that you'd use in, like, the back of a song.
No, you gotta turn that around,
giving support lyrics.
Can I just get a mic for the love of...
There you are.
My savior.
You know who's not
Tim
my
Tebow.
Savior, right? Yeah, Tim Tebow. Shout out to Tim Tebow. Anyone thinks that Tim Tebow would have made that throw at the end of the Niners game? 707-933-9133.
Tim Tebow calls in.
I would then disown you as my friend.
He's like, I would have made that throw.
So
he couldn't have made that
throw. Turn up my headphones.
Sure. I don't know. What headphones are you wearing, Pete?
He couldn't have made that throw. You want to know why?
That's me.
You're four.
Because he didn't make that throw.
Okay. That.
Hey, Tebow is the only Heisman quarterback in the last 26 years that's won a playoff game, guys. All right?
That's... Yeah,
I guess.
I believe it.
So, welcome to the saddest 49ers postgame show of all time.
This you know what's weird is that this game felt like the Super Bowl. But
it
continue.
Did.
I almost said the Super Bowl.
Last year's was when they lost the Super Bowl.
Ramin Rezvani is joining us in studio from NextImpulseSports.com.
Hello.
He you can read his stuff at NextImpulseSports.com. You can also see him. It's Rezvani Ramin at Twitter, right? Yeah, so at Rezvani, R-E-Z-V-A-N-I, Ramin, R-A-M-I-N.
It's nice to have another Irish gentleman in the studio with us.
He's of Irish descent.
I like potatoes.
We're all sad. Ramin's not so much sad anymore as he's just kind of trying to laugh it off.
I'm not that sad anymore.
Pete's no longer sad. I
have a headache.
Well, no, like, I think the one thing that people are taking away from this is, like, all of a sudden Colin Kaepernick can't win the big one or something like that, when last year he led the team to the Super Bowl with a come-from-behind victory on the road in the NFC Championship game. So, you know, he can show he's won it.
Who did they beat?
They beat Atlanta. They were down by three touchdowns in the second half, and he led them back.
Yeah. I was on my honeymoon, so
right.
I was like,
yeah.
That's like a blank spot right. How they got to the Super
Bowl. Like, but
it was like I came back from a foreign country, and I was like, yeah, we're in the Super Bowl.
But like, to me, it was like this game with 3.5 minutes to go, and we're all thinking this. Cap has the ball on the final drive down six, and it's like, this is his Montana Young moment. This is his chance to propel himself into 49er
Elvis
legend
Gerbach history.
Elvis Gerbach. Hell.
That was gross.
Hell. No, no.
I'm just kidding.
Hell, Alex Smith has a come-from-behind win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Who?
A legit one.
The Saints.
To Vernon Davis.
Yeah, to Vernon Davis.
Yeah, but, you know, there was like five lead
changes
in the last
but two he still, of the game. He still came up with sweep left And that throw to Vernon Davis in the final 3 minutes.
Which was awesome.
To win the game, you know? To me, this was the game, though, where you've won two road games. You're facing your biggest rival in what a lot of people are actually thinking was a bigger game than the Super Bowl, like you said. And, well, not like you said, but... And you have the ball with 30 seconds on the 25-yard line, and you're driving, and then that play happens. And it's both sides. It's the pick. Richard Sherman made an incredible play on that ball, but Kaepernick lofted it up there a bit too high, and therefore and allowed Sherman to get under it. And to me, it's like, well, you can't put all the blame on Kaepernick, because Sherman had to tip the ball back as he was falling out of bounds for his linebacker to get the ball. And, you know, the tip drill is something that's done by DBs every day in practice. And the kids have been doing it since high school football. And that play, to come up in the situation that he did, as much as we hate to see it, was a great play. And that's what sucks.
It was a great play. The only thing that I would say is that that option was supposed to be a safe.
Right.
Along the sideline going to the back corner or corner of the end zone.
Right.
So your throw is either over their head, out of bounds, where nobody can get to it.
Right.
Or only where your guy can get it.
Right.
And so it is a good play by Sherman, heads up, to tip it. I'm just going to say that he intentionally meant to tip it.
Oh, that's totally intentional. Right.
And
that's totally intentional.
You have to give him credit to make that play. But at the same time, if the ball was thrown where it should have been thrown,
right,
that play doesn't happen.
And what's interesting is that earlier in the drive, Kaepernick made a throw that showed he learned. It was that throw on the left sideline. That was a perfect ball for Crabtree to get over the head of Cam Chancellor. And so he learned, right? So that throw gets made, and you're sitting there going like, okay, download complete, as we like to say. But at that time, he hasn't thrown to Richard Sherman's side of the field all game. Richard Sherman had not been called at all. And there's a reason for that, because they intentionally tried to make sure Richard Sherman was not a part of this game at all. And so...
Are you sure?
Yeah, Sherman didn't have a ball thrown his way.
So the one ball they threw, he...
Yeah.
Caused an interception.
That's to my understanding, like, I didn't hear Sherman's name called. Kaepernick was throwing a lot of balls either over the middle or to the left. And
Crabtree caught a lot of balls.
Yeah.
Though.
But Crabtree's on the left side a lot. They had Kwan on the right. They're trying to get Crabtree against... the other defensive backs a lot of the time.
Huh, I'd have to look at that.
But yeah, like, you didn't, you know, Crabtree said after the game, he's like, look at the tape, he didn't make a play all day. Well, it's because they wanted to make sure he didn't. It's the old Deion Sanders thing. Deion Sanders on the field, good, don't throw his way. Yeah.
I
think that in a small way, actually, in a big way, that's a huge victory for Seattle because, right. I mean, look at Crabtree. Yeah, Jim Harbaugh called him the best catcher, ever. But look at some of those grabs that Crabtree made today. Like, he was only targeted like five times or whatever it was. He made three or four catches, and they were pretty magnificent grabs, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, he made some great catches.
But by taking away, which, you know, Crabtree is our best receiver, you know, the Niners' best receiver, and he was a non-issue the whole game.
Right.
I think... A lot of people were kind of, when Harbaugh said that, were kind of, their reaction was, oh, what are you talking about? You're so full of it. I think that in the league right now, if, Chad,
Zerby,
Megatron over in Detroit,
Calvin Johnson,
Chad Johnson.
Shout out to Chad Johnson.
If he wasn't in the league,
Chad Zerby,
right now, I would absolutely say Mike Crabtree is the best wide receiver in the NFL.
I don't know. I mean, Who is from like a pure catching standpoint? Correct.
I mean, yeah, but you
catching.
Got guys
no,
like
he runs routes.
AJ Green,
amazing routes.
Yeah, but
he,
like
he doesn't have the breakaway speed. He's not going to just blow by.
And that's the thing, like the Josh Gordons and AJ Greens and the Julio Joneses of this world.
Demaryius Thomas, Wes
those
Welker.
Those are the guys that have a lot of speed. Well, Welker,
he's not a speed guy either. He just runs his routes really well.
But like that's the thing. It's like the one thing that Crabtree doesn't have that those other guys do possess is speed. Explosive. But Crabtree, literally, you talk about the halo, right? Crabtree's the guy who, even though his halo is not as big as Calvin Johnson, you can basically throw the ball anywhere around his body and he'll come down with it.
I think that he is, behind Calvin Johnson, the best wide receiver in football. Yeah. The problem being, if he's healthy next year, just check him off for 1,000-plus receiving yards and a couple touchdowns.
And so here's the question now, and you brought this up. Do we think that this particular 49ers team, that their window is closing? Because I feel like in the NFL, your window closes faster than any other sport. And one of the problems is that, so Crabtree, I believe, becomes a free agent. A restricted free agent, if I remember right.
They'll re-sign Crabtree.
Yeah.
Bolden, though.
Bolden. I think Bolden will stick around. Bolden wants to win a ring. I think he'll stick around because he likes being in San Francisco.
It's a lot of money.
But now you do have to sign Kaepernick because he was on a 3-year rookie deal. Now, he doesn't technically have to make a lot of money, but he's been to a Super Bowl and he's been to 2 NFC Championship games. And
you give Kaepernick the money.
You have to give Kaepernick money.
The Niners aren't currently anywhere near to being over the cap.
True.
They manage their money very efficiently. They've also developed a lot of core young players. I mean, the most expensive guys in the roster now are what?
Are Bowman and Willis.
Not right now. Oh, well, yeah, that's right. They just gave them extensions, right? But Justin Smith, maybe, you know?
Smith is a guy that you're
getting old, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can tell Smith, can we give you a 2-year deal at $20 million or something like that? That type of stuff. But thank you, Ramin. Sorry. We're going to get to Ramin's review of the new McChicken sandwiches here in just a few minutes.
No,
no we will not.
No, we probably won't.
They're not good. Here's my brief review. Don't buy them.
There you go. If you're thinking about going to McDonald's for a McChicken, you'll be sadly disappointed.
Very sadly.
But this is... And the other thing, and this is now the elephant in the room, is... Did you guys just look around for the elephant in the room?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But he looked at me.
Ah, now I know why you looked. That's not cool, man.
Huh?
I'm going to turn on the air.
What?
What? No.
Oh, okay, that was none of us.
Never mind. Okay.
What's wrong with you? Weirdo.
Well, you know. No, but so... I guess my thing is, are they going to be able to keep all this talent... Keep them together, and make another run. They have to get better at defensive back. I think getting a third wide receiver would be good too. Yeah,
I want to say something.
Good, please. This is your show.
That's right. This is my show. Thank you all for coming on my show.
It's the Pete Livingston, Los Livingston Brothers show.
That's right.
Starring Ramin Razvani.
Yes. It's my name big and then smaller with Los Livingston Brothers.
Peter Livingston!
I have the and.
Yes.
Right. So it's Peter Livingston with Los Livingston Brothers and Ramin.
Right. And Ramin's name is still bigger than
but
us.
You talk
we
about
have to
the,
work on that, Sam.
You talk about the window.
Right.
What were you saying to me?
And
we're
talking about the window.
Well, we'll bring it up in a second. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't think the Niners can get any better.
Well,
and here's the... You have Frank Gore, who is not... He's not going to get any better.
Lattimore.
He is going to be...
Lattimore. Marcus Lattimore.
Yeah, the guy.
He's going to
South
Frank
Carolina
Gore.
Running back.
Blew out his knee. He's basically Frank Gore. The Niners are going to replace Frank Gore with Frank Gore, and it's going to be wonderful.
You can only hope.
But
it'll happen.
You look at the roster right now. I don't want to say that they won't get better, because Mike Crabtree is going to be an elite receiver.
Right.
You know, of course Kaepernick will improve. But you look across, Bowman is not going to be the same person ever.
Yeah, again. that was horrific. And we'll get to that play in a minute.
Which
frickin' A.
is horrible. Patrick Willis has been in the league now for 7-8 years.
Yeah.
Six. He's going to be in his seventh. He's going to be good.
Yeah. He's Ray Lewis.
Yeah, he's going.
He's Ray Lewis.
Yeah, he's going to be Ray Lewis.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer right now.
You're going to have another 6 years out of him.
But Bowman.
But Bowman, you can't.
Well, let's reserve judgment until we see the
extent.
Because look, even Mike Iupati, when he went down, I was like, "Oh my God, that's a torn ACL."
Ended up being his ankle. It's a high ankle sprain.
Still, ended up he was questionable.
Right.
You know, in football, honestly, it's the plays that look really bad are usually like they're bad, but they're not. It's devastating.
But,
look at Gronkowski. You see how Gronkowski tore his ACL this year? It looked like a nothing play. It was like a small little snap back, and it turned out completely tore his ACL.
What I'm hoping for,
or RG3 last year,
is hyperextension,
high sprain or something, or big sprain.
Like sprain, minimal.
I'm personally hoping for a broken leg.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's like 6 weeks, and we're good.
Yeah. A broken leg would be so awesome.
Please,
but if
Santa.
Please,
yeah,
right?
Dear
but, Santa.
So you just look at that core. Justin Smith is still going to be Justin Smith.
Alden Smith, I think, is smartened up. And
yeah.
You know.
But, you know, Justin Smith is still going to be able to produce. He's still going to be the immovable object in that.
Just fills the gap.
Glenn freaking Dorsey.
Which I said, did I not say
and
at the beginning of the year?
Too,
that's not,
McDonald.
It's really not fair that Glenn Dorsey, I mean, okay, so here's the thing. He's a scheme to technique who lined up as a nose tackle for the first time in his career, and he turned into one of the best nose tackles in football.
Did I not say that he was going
to
be?
Yeah, you did. No, you could go back and listen to the archives. It's totally true.
And I just said Glenn Dorsey is going to... When they signed him, I just thought that was absolutely amazing.
And my whole thing with Dorsey is that was a one-year deal. So now you do have to resign him. I think letting him go... And I think the other thing, too, is that the league is smartening up. Like, Sapuaga got a big deal. Abreu Franklin got a big deal. These nose tackles are going to other 3-4 schemes, and they're not doing nearly as well because they're not being utilized correctly.
Yeah.
Right? So I think Dorsey, like Bolden, will take a little bit less money than they would elsewhere for a chance to be a contributor on one of the best teams in football.
Look, right now where the Niners stand, with the level of talent they have, with their coaching, with their development of their their players, they remind me a lot of the Patriots in the mid-2000s, except the Niners have the defense. The Patriots just had an absolutely unstoppable juggernaut of offense, kind of what we're seeing with Peyton Manning this year and his offense. They were, you know, averaging over 35 points a game for what, like 4 or 5 years straight.
Right.
And they went to 3 Super Bowls in like 5 years. And then they, you know, but they were still strong and they came back and went 19-1, almost won, went undefeated up until 2007. And they've been consistently strong. The Niners in the same area.
Can we mention something we haven't talked about, the Patriots Broncos game? We probably won't talk much about them, but
we can talk about that a little there.
This was Belichick's 8th AFC championship game.
First one on the road.
Too. His 8th.
It's absolutely amazing.
I mean, can we talk about that for a second?
Hang on. No, because
we'll go there later. But
we can talk about a second later on, which
good Lord.
We definitely can.
Yeah.
But the window, as I was saying, there will be improvements, but there isn't much more that they can necessarily do.
Right.
I think... that they will get better, but it'll be very, very incremental.
Uh-huh.
I think that having Crabtree for a full year, they would have been the number one seed.
They would have been.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely. Right. They would have beat Carolina.
And you have to re-sign Bolden, no matter what the price, because of the fact that if they didn't have him, they wouldn't have been in the position that they were at.
So Bolden got paid $9 million this year. Remember, the Niners took on the entirety of his salary.
Would you have... Looking back on the season, would you have said that he was worth $9 million?
Yeah, because
absolutely,
he had a 1,000-yard season at age 33. You know when that happens in the NFL? Like, never?
Yeah.
When you're Randy Moss on the Patriots?
Yeah. Chris Carter on the Vikings because you have Randy Moss on the other side of you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Randall Cunningham's throwing you the ball? Yeah.
But the other thing is, with the 49ers and going forward, like we're saying, the NFC West is getting better. The NFC in general is just getting so incredibly good.
This is very much the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference of the NBA.
And look at the Cardinals. They won 10
exactly.
games.
Exactly. And that's why I'm worried about the window.
Right.
Yeah. Is because now they set the bar up here.
Right. Now
everybody. And now everybody else is right there.
Meanwhile, the AFC, like the Patriots basically walked in this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was trash.
And
yeah.
and so and it's funny because like the big and I saw one person bring this up, but this is going to be something that people are going to talk about just because it happened. But like there's people who are wondering would Alex Smith have won that game?
No.
And I'm just sitting there going like, "Okay, guys, we're taking
this." You mean in San Francisco?
Yeah.
They're like,
and I'm just like, we can't have this discussion anymore.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it's a
straw man to say the least.
Absolutely.
Would any if you stuck Brett Favre back
right,
there?
Right.
Would they? You know what I mean?
It's Tom like, Brady, right? No, and that's the thing. It's like, guys, you know, people, and I keep on bringing this up. It's like, and people like to warp the arguments to make sure that it's going one way or the other, right? So people will give people Alex Smith credit for winning that game against the Saints, but when Colin Kaepernick beats the Falcons on the road, it's like, oh, he just did that with Alex Smith's team. It's like, what? You know, what does that mean?
That doesn't mean anything.
That doesn't mean anything, right? So
in college, maybe you could make that argument, but in the NFL, it's not.
But there are people who are going to be making this argument, and there are going to be people who will think is like, so the Niners trade away Alex Smith is like, you know. Could, you know, why would they do that? And it's like the decision was made midway through last year.
That's why you just don't bother to listen to these people. Who cares? Like it's not. It doesn't matter because it's all in hindsight. You know, right. What if the Giants would have signed
by
this
the way,
guy? What
tomorrow? Come on. Don't watch sports talk or listen to sports talk at all.
No,
tomorrow.
I'm going
to
be pretty much off.
Like no joke, be off the grid tomorrow.
Absolutely,
it's Martin Luther in remembrance of Martin Luther King Jr. Do not watch TV about today's games. Or listen to the radio about today's games.
Look, even if the 49ers had won this game, even I remember last year when they were going up to heading to the Super Bowl, I didn't watch a minute of SportsCenter because I could not stand the absolute just
sanctimony?
Firestorm of no. It's just everywhere you turn, it's like I don't need to hear about this all day. Just I want to watch the game, and that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
It's all played on the field.
Richard Sherman already has the promo of the year for pro wrestling 2014.
Somebody cut a video. They put the NWO promo thing to it, and they put him in black and white.
My two favorite stills. So the still that's making the rounds is Richard Sherman peering into the camera, brim right over his eyes, so you can't tell if it's him or Coolio. Aaron Andrews like looking dumbfounded up at him. So the two things I've seen are Mean Gene Okerlund holding the mic instead of Aaron Andrews, which is like the greatest thing in the world. And then the second thing is Aaron Andrews interviewing him, and they put the picture up on the Titantron that the WWF would have back in the day, and Triple H is in the ring looking up at him, waiting for him to say something.
That's awesome.
And so like I'm watching both of these, and I'm just like, well, I mean, this is the greatest thing I've ever
seen.
Can
I say something?
Please.
I actually I turned the TV off after the interception happened.
Sure.
I was just beyond ticked off, and I just turned it off. I didn't want to see anything. I didn't want to whatever.
That's your prerogative.
And people are making a big deal about the Sherman comments, and I was like, I don't want to deal with this right now. Who knows what he said? Like, I was fired up, and I was just trying to calm down. You know, wanted to bring my level down.
Right.
And then finally, after a while, somebody had posted a video on a forum, and so I went and I watched it. And I honestly. I didn't think it was that. I really didn't think it was that bad.
No, it wasn't.
I know people were ticked off because they lost, and you know, sour grapes
and this and that.
But you know what? What he said was pretty tame.
Yeah,
you know,
he was
saying like, "Oh, Crabtree, like don't." It's like okay, like that's not that bad. So, he wasn't like.
He's just stirring the pot, man, because he can.
The way people talked about it, I thought he was on there dropping like MFs and like.
Yeah. Right. No.
You know,
what is MF?
You get out of here. No, but
monster farts.
Yeah, monster farts.
Monster.
So many monster farts.
But you know what I mean? Monster and farts. I just remember I watched the video and I was like, "Oh, that's not that bad."
Right. No.
That's really not that bad.
No, what was bad was Aaron Andrews.
No.
You got here. I'm scared.
You can tell she was, this man is talking to me weird.
The what actually did tick me off and it still ticks me off was Bowman getting trash rained on him,
right,
getting carted off the field.
Well, they threw Skittles on him, yeah.
Well, and other stuff too. Somebody took
a photo.
They took a photo on their TV on one of the forums. They replayed it and they posted it on there. And he's sitting there and he has his head down and it's the saddest thing ever. And he has Skittles and garbage and food littered all around him. And yeah, he possibly just had. You had the best defensive player in the NFL having one of the best games of his life. Already, he had like 8 tackles and 2 sacks. Had just, with that injury, made a strip and had the ball. And the refs screwed that up and didn't give it to him.
Yeah.
And then he was having a career year on top of that.
Yeah.
And then the injury happens and he's getting carted off the field. And they do that to him. And I remember just thinking, I was like, that's just...
Now, that's classless.
That is classless.
See, that's
that,
the thing.
That I was upset about. The Sherman thing, I was like, that's nothing.
Yeah.
But then you look at that guy who may just have his career over.
Right.
And the fans are throwing stuff on him.
That's classless.
That is the definition of classless.
And this is the thing, right? So the retort to that is that they automatically look for something that a bunch of dumb 49ers fans do to an opposing player. And we don't condone that at all. That crap, like, I hate that crap.
Yeah, it was the same thing when the Giants won the World Series,
right,
and we were in here, and I was saying it ruins it because the fans were, you know, people were beating other people up.
They
and I was
shut
like,
down trolley service and street side car service all day today because they were afraid of what would happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's messed up.
Look, you got bad eggs at everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's one thing that I will say, and I've noticed just over the course of a couple years, like, the Seahawks fans. Look, I think Niners fans can be very annoying, too. I can see why other fan bases in the Niners, we're very arrogant as a whole because, like, oh, the Niners, we've been, you know, such a storied franchise, whatever. But Seahawks fans, it almost seems like they make it more about the 12th man. Like, to them, it's like the 12th man
personal.
Is more important than the team itself. And it's not.
Right.
The 12th man is, first of all, not original. They pay Texas A&M the rights to even use the name 12th man.
Right.
Number two, they're not technically louder than any other fan base or group of people. It's just the stadium that's designed.
Yes.
So you put any group of human beings in that stadium cheering, it's going to be louder than normal. It has nothing to do with these people.
They're not just...
It's the stadium.
By birth, they're not naturally louder in Seattle
than
they are.
So, and this
I know, exactly.
And this is another thing, too, is that the reason... And there's a reason behind a lot of that, and it's because... There are very passionate fans in the Northwest. Key Arena was always one of the loudest arenas to go play in Seattle.
Supersonics.
Supersonics. The Seattle Sounders are the most popular MLS team by far.
Do they sell out CenturyLink for those
games?
Them
and the Portland Timbers. So the Northwest.
Pacific Northwest is the haven of soccer for
But like you said, it's like they have to take that upon themselves. And I totally understand pride in one's team. But it's almost like being a part of a religion. It's like, that's cool that you're a Seahawks fan. Don't push up on me like you have to tell me that you're better than me. You know, that type
don't
of
make
stuff.
It look, this is what people don't understand. What I don't like about fandom is people make it about themselves.
Right.
And the actions that they do. When you beat someone else up or engage someone in a fight, when you stab somebody else, when you haze someone, when you vandalize someone's property or other person's property, you are making it about yourself. You're taking away from the team's performance. Your job as a fan is to be there to support your team, and no one has a problem with that. We all do it. But the moment you start taking actions into your own hands beyond the game itself that's being played, that becomes an issue. And that's for everybody. It's not just Seattle. It's for us, you know, for everyone. But
It's a universal.
But it seems to be like way more prevalent in Seattle.
And my thought on that is because as an organization, and this isn't necessarily a bad thing.
I want to point this out right now, Pete. The shadows that are going across your microphone right now makes it look like you have an awesome handlebar mustache.
Which I do.
Vantage point. Go ahead.
You do. Oh, I like that.
It's pretty awesome.
But what the Seattle organization does, and is kind of cool because they're really bringing in... Is there like other music being played?
Yeah, there is.
Okay. I was just checking. Is that they are really embracing the 12th man, and they're basically saying to the fan base, you are part of the Seattle Seahawks. You are like on the... So these people are just like, yeah, we're there. Like, I should have a helmet and pads and a jersey. I'm on the Seahawks. Well, you I'm part of the 12th man. And so it kind of feeds into
that. Then we can get into the psychology of being a sports fan, because that
which is going to be my next documentary, which I will talk.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
No. I might pitch it to Bill Simmons. But, and I can talk a little bit more about that later. First, no, I got to finish my other documentary.
Please.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about that with Jack. But the thing is, I think the only way that to subdue my feelings toward the fan base in the Seattle Seahawks organization, they would need to apologize to the San Francisco organization and to Bowman and his family. For first off, that was on TV.
Right.
So people saw that. Right. And it's already gone across the internet.
Right.
It has to be, they need to apologize, and it has to be genuine.
Right.
And it's not just so it's like, ah, look, we got to knock him down a peg. It's because that's really messed up.
Right.
To have that kind of injury and then have that happen.
Right.
Like, there needs to be you can't just like pretend nothing happened. Right. You know, let's wipe our hands and step away like and just sweep it under the rug.
Well, that's what you're saying is like with the psychology of making a fan a part of the team, basically that's like giving them a sword and the armor and saying, you're a part of us. So now, you know, you look in these kind of societies where that happens, and now these guys are walking around. For example, I mean, I'll just be honest, you know, in Iran, there's a militia, okay, in addition to the Revolutionary Guard, and their job is to enforce, you know, like Islamic customs or whatever. They're not paid and they're not any trained, but they're given a gun and basically a little piece of paper says that, oh, you're part of the Iranian militia, government. Right. So they walk around, they harass people, and they can get away with it because they think that they're bigger than the society now.
Right.
I mean, that's a very extreme example, excuse me, but to a degree, I mean, when you empower a person and give them this title, they think they're bigger.
And that's with anything when it comes to association, right? There could be someone who, to them, this fandom that they have for the sports team, this affiliation they have for the sports team, is the best thing they have in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's
sad, though.
But that's what I'm saying, though, right? And so
people get really, really worried over sports.
No, but that's what I'm saying, right? So there could be something bad going on in their lives, or something that, you know, they're not going to be privy to just any other fan who, you know, casually is following the team for their first year, right?
Mm-hmm.
There could be someone who is so heavily emotionally invested in this team that anything that happens to them that's bad, all of a sudden, like, they question things to a point where it can get really bad. And I know that's where you're going with some of the stuff you're talking about.
Yeah. Sure.
But, like, that is a real thing. And this isolation that some of those fans feel in certain situations is now becoming more prevalent due to the fact that we now have access to more information and more ways to show off these fans. For example, last weekend after the Chargers lost to the Denver Broncos, there was a video posted on Deadspin not mere an hour and a half after the game of a dude getting kicked and stomped by multiple Chargers fans outside of Sports Authority Field. And it's like,
whoa, wait, so yeah. Chargers fans?
You didn't see this?
Chargers fans on a Broncos fan.
Well,
that's crazy because that's in Denver.
Let's not vilify completely.
True.
That video, the Broncos fan basically comes charging at them like a bat out of hell.
Well, no, but that's kind of what I'm talking about.
He runs in, he's like, come on, like bring it on, and then they all just jump on him.
But that's my thing. I'm not vilifying the Chargers fan, right? I would vilify the Dodgers fan, the Brian Stowe incident.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, right? Because that was basically uncalled for, right?
Okay, uncalled for is a complete understatement. Basically beat a man to it. Like six or seven people jumped someone and beat him to an inch of his life.
I was trying to be understated and PC about it, but that's fine. That works too.
Get what you're saying.
But that's what I'm talking about, right? And so the people who did that, the people who decided to do that, to Bowman, were people who were so heavy invested into that moment.
Oh yeah.
That they decided, oh, you know, this is my displeasure at you because, oh, I hate the 49ers. And so it's the lowest common form of being a human being from a psychological level, is that you have no intent of caring about what the other person might be feeling at all.
But you know what though? You know what?
That's the basis.
Honestly,
of it.
Instead of being angry at those kind of people, all it makes me do is just pity them.
Well, it does.
And no, really, because that's all it is. Like, dude, you, to do something like this, you have to either feel some little empathy for other people, or B,
right,
this like football team that you don't play for. You pay for your fandom. You buy jerseys. You buy tickets. You buy merchandise. You pay.
And they don't pay you for wearing.
They don't pay you a thing. Right. You pay for the right to be a fan, essentially. Right. And if this is what is, if it's that important in your life that you have to basically spit on another competitor who was injured doing his job in a game,
right.
I pity you. I feel bad for you as a person and the people that are in your family that have to deal with someone like
that.
And
that's something that, for me, that's why I've always been detached from being a fan.
Like, same here.
And that's something that, because I've seen that too much. Like, one of the things that I've noticed, either working, like going to sporting events as I have, or, you know, working them, or being a part of the media, is that you look at the fans from a completely different standpoint. So that's one thing that I had an advantage of, is I got to go in kind of neutral. You know, I know who I was covering. I know who I was there to cover. So you're sitting there going like, oh, yeah, you got to make sure you're getting what you need for the home team or what have you. But at the same time, you do have those fans that are so invested that it kind of takes away from your enjoyment, even if you're a fan of the same team.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely been at a Giants game, and I see some drunk jerk, like, berating the other team's fan. And even, the Giants fans are saying to this guy, like, dude, shut up.
Right.
Sit down. Mm-hmm. You're making all of us look bad.
Right.
And it's beyond me. You can heckle. It's okay to heckle and have, friendly, like, hey, how do you like that? Oh, blah. But when you're making...
Nature bums are the original trolls.
Yeah, but when you are making... personal attacks on, first of all, players, because I've heard, I'm sitting in the bleachers, the opposing team's outfielder or something, someone utter a very, very personal and, like, either racist or, basically just a messed up remark, and then everybody else looks at that guy like, dude, what is your problem? It's a game.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to Dodger Stadium. The first time I went to Dodger Stadium, I went with 10 other Giants fans. We sat in the pavilion, the only Canadian pavilion. I'll never sit there ever again. But we sat in the first row, and people were throwing food. And I mean, a full hot dog. Someone took a minute to load up a Dodger dog with ketchup, mustard, relish, and onions, and threw it. It whizzed right by my head and impacted the wall in front of me. I was like, and I turn around to see who it was, and there's this guy looking at me like through these eyes, and he's like, "Sit down, or I'm gonna effing kill you."
Yeah,
I'm like, wow.
That's probably because he found out what was in a Dodger dog and decided not to.
I hope that's the reason. But I was shocked. Yeah. I was like, I wasn't scared for my life. There was 10 of us, and it would never got that out of hand. But I did not feel safe.
But
it was weird.
Yeah. Well, we should probably move on because we've talked about this for like 40 minutes.
It's 11:40.
No, we can still talk about the game
if we want to talk about it, but. Do you guys have anything else? I mean, for me...
Oh, the other thing, because we kind of ended up segueing away...
Oh, the Bowman play itself!
Well, the play, which was amazing, there was just
on the 1 yard line.
And then the fourth down when they went for it. I remember thinking was like, sweet. This is going to be... It's going to be a touchdown. It's done.
I'm
going to
break
dad
and mom's TV, and that's
going to
be
just the audacity. Like, they came out and were so freaking fired up on that one play. I couldn't believe it. I was just like, oh, my God. That was like, hey, we're doing it for Bowman.
And then Kaepernick throws basically a ball directly to Cam Chancellor.
Yeah.
That was the dumbest. That was, oh, my God.
Which the two things I want to talk about. One, we're talking about what they would need to get. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, we got to fix the secondary. Let's go get somebody in the secondary, which is just so incredibly hard.
Right.
You can't hide a cornerback. Like, you can kind of hide
a linebacker. You can move him inside or move him to safety, but if you can't do that, then yeah, you're done.
But listen, you can't hide a cornerback. They call it the island for a reason.
Right.
You're out there one-on-one. It's not like you can kind of hide a subpar linebacker behind a very good defensive line, but you can't really do that with a cornerback.
No, and
what I equate it to is like people saying, oh, we just need to go out. We just need a quarterback. Oh, you just need a quarterback?
Right.
Just like, oh, people always say with the Giants, oh, why don't they go? Why don't they just, we need a legit
power bat
that's going to get us 40, 50 home runs.
Right.
Oh, sure, because there's a tree that you can just grab these guys off of. You
shake the tree and pick up the pen.
Go spend $240 million on Albert Pujols. See how that's doing for
and,
you.
And
you
it's know? The same thing and in the NFL.
30-year-old guy, 10-year deal.
No, they're not dumb. They know what their target is, where they need to improve. But you have to think beyond that a little bit. You can't just say, hey, we need that lockdown cornerback. We need a Richard Sherman. Well, there's a you get one or two Richard Shermans.
I would like
types.
To point out that we're basically the 1% of sports fans, though.
Yeah.
I mean, so you gotta be thinking about that. So you're talking – and this is what's funny about like one of the reasons why I don't listen to sports talk radio anymore or really watch any of the PTI around the horn, any of that BS. I will watch Highly Questionable with Dan Levitard because Poppy is the greatest thing
I
on
love
freaking
Dan
TV.
Levitard.
And Dan Levitard has all the respect
and
in the world
Dan
me.
Levitard. By the way, we talked about it last week. Harrison and I talked about it, but shout out to Dan Levitard still. For the Hall of Fame.
People in KBR were pissed off that he did that.
Well, that's because they're all a bunch of old... These are the same people that are pissed off when the people. A's were using sabermetric stats. Like, oh, you need to go after RBIs.
Get out of here.
But what are you saying?
But, Oh, God. No.
We're talking about acquiring...
But, yeah, like, so like, my whole
1%
thing...
1% of
the sports fans, right? So, so you are seeing this from a perspective that's... completely unique, with full of information because you've learned this either by watching or doing, right? And for me, like, my biggest thing is trying to bridge that gap, right? So if I want to present to someone why I think wins above replacement is a big deal or why I think a guy walking, all right,
is just as valuable
as a guy who hits 300 or a guy who hits 50 doubles is as important to me as a guy who hits 25 home runs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that stuff, that's where you can try and bridge that gap. With the stuff you're talking about, they only think about, like, the big names they'll see in the paper, right? So...
just plug this guy in here.
Like, just plug... You know, go get, Tony Romo would do better than... like, something like that. Right? Because he's getting paid all the money. Shout-outs to Joe Flacco, by the way. Enjoy the playoffs on the couch.
He got paid.
Get that money.
That Joe Flacco basically himself into the luckiest situation you could be in. Right. I mean, the luck was just the fact that it all happened in his contract year. You're a quarterback. You go to the take your team and win the Super Bowl. You get a lot of money.
But you're totally right. You're in a situation where you're not going to be able to go out and get that DB, right? Yep. You're not going to be able to go out and find that stud third wide receiver. They tried to get that with Mario Manningham, and he's been an injured bust, right? So
it just doesn't always work.
It doesn't always work, right? And the Niners have had – people don't understand. The Niners have had amazing, amazing luck in the last 3 years.
Absolutely.
Amazing luck. This was the first year where the injury bug really hit them, and they're a play away from the freaking Super Bowl.
And you know what? I don't think
they're a play away.
Their secondary is going to get better.
Yeah,
Eric Reed killed it as a rookie.
Tremaine Brock did a great job when they moved him outside.
Terrell Brown had a pretty good year.
TB too. Yeah,
Carlos Rogers had a. He wasn't the best, but he had a. He'd be like a number one corner on many teams.
So that's just what I'm saying is that there's a little bit more to it than that, and that's why going back to the window will bring it back around. They're going to get better. It's going to be in increments, but their window is
right.
There. I don't think their window is especially that close because the core of the team is still young, and that's what's important is your core and your development. It's drafting and development. The Niners have shown in the last 6-7 years they have been excellent at developing.
Shout out to Trent Baalke since that guy has joined the organization, he has been he's like
John Schneider.
He's like Evans, Bobby Evans for the Giants.
You know who you have to give credit to is ownership too.
Jed York for
being able to say, hey, this is your job.
You grew up.
I'm stepping back.
Jed York
I'll give
grew
you the
up.
Money. I will give you the money. You do your job.
Yeah.
You fill the organization top down with your guys. I'm going to support you and give you money and
he's
get you a new
anti-Al
stadium.
Al Davis.
Yeah. And it's just like, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for not trying to be the 30-year-old phenom who's going to try and run everything and just saying, I'm going to just be an awesome owner, give you money, and let you football people do your football
stuff. Speaking of which, that the offensive coordinator for the Broncos, you had two OCs that were like 35 years and younger in this game.
Yeah.
And Broncos and Josh McDaniels, who's still incredible. Let's not forget about the fact that just because he wasn't that great with Denver for half a year.
Pats.
No, when he was the head coach of the Broncos.
Remember when he was the head coach for the Broncos?
That was the Tebow moment.
Yeah. Yeah. When he drafted Tebow.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the biggest first round busts ever.
Right. I wanted to bring something up to you. This is another stat thing, right? So the idea of getting better, incrementally better.
Yes.
As in any sport where you have a great team trying to be elite or the best team, the biggest jump that you make is at that level. It is the hardest jump to make in sports. If you think about the difference between a baseball team winning 70 and 75 games, it means nothing. The difference between a baseball team winning 87 and 92 games, that's incredibly huge. The weight on that is ginormous. So now you're talking about the Niners have to take the finest of tweaks, and they have to make it worth a Super Bowl victory.
Yeah, but you know what? I honestly have 100% complete
trust. And that's the other thing, right?
They've been to three. Let's just put this in perspective. I guess, you know, that's wrapping this topic up. Jim Harbaugh took the exact same team that was 6-10. Pretty much every core player was the exact same guy.
Right.
He took an Alex Smith that couldn't find an accurate pass to save his life. And he took that team to a 13-3 record in a conference championship his first year. Second year, totally new quarterback. He basically Navarro Bowman exploded onto the scene. He took that team again. What was that 11-4-1 conference or Super Bowl this year? Injury bug. Took that team 12-4. Should have been 13-3 at the very least. If they had Crabtree the whole year, they probably would have won at least the Carolina game.
And
they probably would have beaten the Saints too. Let's just be honest. If that wasn't for that Breeze.
Shout outs to Ahmad Brooks. Yeah, Ahmad Brooks. Blue.
You have, what, 9 Pro Bowlers this year?
Eight.
Last year they also had 8. Yeah. The year before that they had 7. And this is a team that for 8 years was trash.
Right.
Yep.
So I have all the faith in Trent Baalke and in Jed York to step away and Jim Harbaugh to keep doing what he's doing. I really hope that Vic Fangio stays. I love Vic Fangio. Greg Roman I could honestly do without. They could get somebody else.
I was secretly hoping that Minnesota would hire him.
Same here. I really am too. But Vic Fangio and Jim Tom Sula, those guys are like
my
freaking heroes.
Fangio
looks like the coolest guy. Yeah. Like
just hang out with.
So is Tom Sula is incredible. First off, Tom Sula, your facial hair. Shouts to Tom Sula's facial hair.
Tom Sula is the
defensive line coach.
He looks like the coolest guy.
Oh yeah.
Ever.
Like, he's the guy who would show you, like, he would, like, tear you out in practice for 2 hours and then take you out for a beer.
Exactly.
Tell you how great you are.
He just looks like
he
cares about you.
He would die for that guy.
But, yeah, so.
I have. Twice.
That kid.
That's awkward.
Yeah, so, do you have something else?
About the Niners and all them? Just, I thought their defense was awesome. Just that fourth down play freaking killed me.
Oh, yeah, Fangio's blitz today, when he called a blitz. Perfect time.
I mean,
it was incredible.
With the touchdown, when they gave up the touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
That pissed me off.
Horrible.
Because, and I said this, it was like a fourth grader playing Madden football.
Right.
And it's like, oh, fourth down, NFC champion, whatever. I'm just going to throw it up there, Hail Mary.
Well, here's what
it worked, but it was still
offside.
Do you know why it worked? That's exactly it. They would not have taken that shot at all. They would have gone conservative and tried to get the first down. Yeah. I swear. When you're down 4th and 5 and out of field goal range, you don't take an end zone shot. You go for the first down, the high percentage throw. Yeah. It was jumping off sides. I even saw it. I saw right when he jumped off sides and the flag went, Russell Wilson changed his look from the short outside pass, and he just chucked it down.
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, and Rodgers played Curse well on that, and he got his arm in there. It was perfectly placed by Russell. Yeah.
It reminded me of hockey when you get a penalty and you go 6-on-5 and then you score a goal.
Yeah.
Because you got that extra man.
6-on-5.
6-on-5, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you pull the goal and you bring on an extra skater because...
Oh, if they touch it.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was exactly what that reminded me. It was just like...
Broncos-Pats?
That was complete domination. 500 total yards.
Not even an interesting game to watch.
Not even close.
That was one of those games where you can even tell, even like Peyton usually is pretty subdued, but you could even... Everybody knew... They're going to win that game.
Right.
And even Brady, by the end of the game, you can kind of tell, like, he had this look on his face, like, hey, you know what? I got this team this far. A team that had, on defense, no Mayo, no Will Fork, and then they lost Tlaib.
That happened, it was over.
And then you just knew, okay, so that nobody can hang with Thomas.
A couple rookies.
On offense, you lose 2 all-world tight ends. Probably 2 of the best tight ends that we will see for...
Next to Jimmy Graham and Vernon Davis.
Danny Amendola is not Wes Welker. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened?
And so you just look at what they did and you were like, hey, the fact that they got to the NFC Championship game, good on them.
Yeah, but you also remember we talked about earlier, the AFC is pretty weak overall. Yeah. Like, even the teams that are good are not very good. Yeah. Like, so, let's be honest.
My favorite thing about. Go ahead. Did you have something?
I was going to say, with Denver, though,
right?
Even though everybody had pretty much pegged them in the Super Bowl, which really good on them because I kind of thought they might have slipped up a little bit.
Yeah.
I know everybody was saying Seattle and Denver from the get-go, so good on them.
The Weed Bowl. Congratulations.
Yeah. But you know what? Everybody's saying it's going to be Denver's offense against Seattle's defense. You know what really is surprising Denver's me in defense. This playoff defense. Is Denver's defense. You have Champ Bailey is looking like Champ Bailey of like 13 years
Which
ago.
Is incredible. And then, he's 36.
He's 34.
35.
And then
something like that.
Their defensive line.
No actually, Von Miller either.
No Von Miller.
Sean Phillips getting after
Sean
it.
Phillips.
Absolutely manhandled. Not like. Every play.
Logan Mankins looked confused, and I have not seen Mankins one of the best offensive linemen in the league.
Jack Del Rio freaking he tore it up today,
and so he tore it up. You look at if their defensive line plays motivated like that against New England, that had established a somewhat of a power run game throughout the year and into the playoffs to alleviate a little bit of the Brady throwing 40 times a game.
Right,
if they can even have half of the success that they had against New England with Seattle coming up, it's like I think that there's a very, very good chance that the Broncos could run away with
Denver. Denver early favorites.
Oh, by the way, the
slim favorites.
The 12th
but early
man
favorites.
Doesn't travel
that's
outside.
That's right. That's right.
And that's the other
thing. One thing I will say, and I 100% back this up, and I know it's true. If this game was played in San Francisco, a neutral location, the Niners would have, I wouldn't say decisively won, but they would have won. And
by
10.
They would have been Carolina.
It would have been comfortable. Yeah, right. It would have been Carolina.
Here's my thing with this game. Denver has a template that they rolled out today that I really loved, and it was just vintage Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is best at what he did today. Peyton Manning decided to start it out by attacking the holes in the zone that New England was hitting, and they were giving him 5 and 10 yards. He's like, cool, thanks for that. You know, Welker on and out, a dig for Decker, quick slant to Thomas, right? And then second quarter comes around. And he waits for the perfect time to send Thomas on a deep post, and he splits the safeties, and then he's got him. Like that's he does this where he takes the first 10 yards, and he just belch you, and then he figures out a way to put Thomas in the right spot to say, if you run this route correctly, you're going to split these safeties, and I'm going to hit you for 30 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that today to perfection. 32 of 44, 400 yards. I mean, it was like one of the best, and Manning had this all year.
He's a surgeon.
And
out
it
there.
Was one of the best performances I've ever seen him make because he did it like it was just any other game.
That's what I was going
to
say.
It was ridiculous.
Can we also give real quick credit to Denver's running backs? No, Sean Moreno. Had some fumbling problems. Wasn't really effective in the first couple years of his career. Lost his job to McGahey and other guys, you know. But I think the fact that they have Peyton Manning in such an excellent passing offense now, it took a lot of pressure off the run game. Because look at when Tebow was playing, didn't throw the ball. Before Tebow, who was there? Kyle Orton.
Right.
You know, they didn't have, you know, a great passing offense, so they had to rely a lot on the run game. I think when you know, your running backs are running and they don't feel that they have all the pressure on them, they can perform better. I mean, psychologically, I think it just adds a little more, unless you're Marshawn Lynch or Adrian Peterson when you're just a beast.
And the other thing I want to bring up, I know how good that secondary is for Seattle. They do not have 3 Richard Shermans.
No.
You have to guard 3 of the best receivers in football. Plus one of the up-and-coming tight ends in
Julius
football.
Thomas. And No. Sean Moreno.
And you have – that's the other thing. A couple times today, they run those swing patterns out into the flat, the follow patterns when you're running to, like, the two-receiver side. Moreno is catching him in stride and running for 20, 25 yards.
You know what they do
– Their offense is just incredible right now.
What they do better than any other team is the screen game.
Oh, God, they're so good.
And
it's ridiculous.
They will set up –
check down
2 or 3 screens
on the same play
in a play,
and
they move the pocket. So they'll go pocket, move pocket right, fake screen, go back left.
Right.
You know, they'll move right, go screen right. I mean, they just do so many different things. And so San Francisco, offensively, they knew that against Seattle, they weren't just going to be able to go heavy dose of Frank Gore.
Which they tried to anyway, but that's
well,
okay.
No, he only poor got dude, like 10.
He had like 15 yards
carries.
Whole game.
Not only, but he didn't get Frank Gore touches.
No, he didn't.
Which let me knew that he wasn't necessarily the top dog in their game plan. Obviously, they were like, Cap, we want you to do your thing.
They were hoping.
But Peyton Manning is a different kind of, he has a different kind of elusiveness.
Yeah.
In that, everything is subtle and with purpose.
Right.
Everything he does is with a purpose. He's not just running just to run. Everything is setting something up. Well, and that's the thing. Will Seattle be able to handle something like that? Not only, like you were saying, you have a bunch of running backs that are very much involved in this passing game that can all catch and run. And now they're actually running, dare I say, with some authority.
Yeah.
You know, and if they're able to do what Denver does, it's just, I don't know.
Look, Peyton Manning.
I don't know if Seattle can.
I think Peyton Manning is maybe the single smartest player to ever play football. And
basically,
honestly, like it's not just pure talent. It's his brain is absolutely unparalleled. And I've heard stories of
Ray Lewis is up there though.
Ray Lewis, but it's different being a quarterback. All right, you know,
well, one is instinct and the other is preparation.
But look, Peyton Manning. You look at people like was it Matthew Berry, and there was other people out there that were saying we review tapes of. I've reviewed Peyton Manning's videos and tapes, you know, his game film, so much of it. He'll call an audible and he'll change the play, and that play will succeed beyond, you know, what anyone thought it would. And we look at the tapes, none of us can see it until, like, we call him in, we're like, Peyton, what did you see? And he'll say something like, oh, I saw a flinch of his hand, or I saw his eyes just very briefly look at my receiver. I knew that he was going to cover him, and I changed the play. The fact that he can see that. In almost real time, it's unbelievable.
You know,
nobody else can do that.
You know what still kills me? And I'm not too upset about it because it's first full year. But some of that clock management in the Niners game freaking killed me, man.
Yeah.
Just absolutely killed
one
me.
One thing that, I mean... And
third and two?
One of the things he did get better. He did get better as the year went on. But what happened in this game was that there were major gaffes. At the wrong time. That third and two was huge. The fourth and one play earlier in the game that made it a fourth and six because of the false start by Vernon Davis.
Yep.
They
were just...
You think they would have still run that play, though? You really think they
would run it? Oh, no. At the very least, they would have called timeout. At the very least, because it was the end of the second quarter, and they had three timeouts.
Yeah, but you also realize that that was the punt that got down at like the 1 yard line, though. Yeah. So it's not like it really worked out that poorly for them.
Well, my whole thing is, you have the in those situations, and you know, from the biggest thing for me is to understand that in certain situations you have to put more of an emphasis on time and Kaepernick. Having only made 20 starts in the NFL at this point, in the regular season, plus five in the postseason, or six now, excuse me. It's interesting to think. We got a few minutes.
But you said the show keeps going.
Yeah, we'll be able to get the show. We figure out a way.
Yeah, it goes more than an hour now.
Yeah, so we're good.
So we can go as long as we want. So, but
shouts to Martin Luther King.
MLK.
MLK.
Homie.
Boneless rib sandwich.
What?
It was not good.
Boondocks.
Oh.
Boneless rib
sandwich. I was like, where are you going with
sorry.
This?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a football. It'll be fun. My initial reaction was I'm not watching the Super Bowl. Not gonna do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But one last thing.
You know you will.
I know. I'm gonna watch that.
You're a
Super
liar
Bowl.
If you say you're not watching.
One very interesting statistic. Which going into the Super Bowl could very well be a big difference in who wins the game. The most penalized team in the NFL
is the Seattle Seahawks.
And you know who got a lot of penalties thrown their way? Was those DBs. They're physical.
Right.
You can't give Peyton Manning second chances. If you're third and five and you get a holding call or a defensive pass interference,
he will make you pay so
bad. It's going to be like... That's going to be a long-ass game, guys.
And the other thing is that defensive front going to be able to not jump on those hard counts? San Francisco had a couple of things wrong with their hard counts today. Obviously, the noise had a lot to do with that. But can Seattle be disciplined enough up front to not fall? Because we saw with San Diego. San Diego had 5 neutral zone infractions.
Yep.
Denver's coaching, and I love this little tick. As soon as they see someone come across, the offensive lineman engages them.
Yep.
Right away.
Yeah.
Get the 5 yards. We yep. don't care.
Five yards.
They will move immediately. Yeah,
it's pretty great.
And that's, you know, in the playoffs, I think they take more of a risk too, because I mean, Denver's got the best. I think they have the best overall offensive line. Peyton Manning was sacked 20 times this year.
Without Ryan Clady.
That is just barely over one per game.
Without your all pro freaking
left tackle.
How many games this year was Peyton Manning not sacked? It was like 4 or 5 games. You didn't get sacked.
Which is what I talk about. They are so awesome at protecting.
Go
him,
Broncos.
Doing so many different things.
Go Broncos.
Yeah. What, like? I know that Seattle's defense is a Seattle defense, but
Peyton Manning's Peyton Manning.
I just don't. How are you going to get to him? How are you going to get to Peyton Manning? How are you going to rattle him?
Does Peyton Manning ride off into the sunset?
No. He'll play another couple
if
years.
If he wins.
No. He's under contract. He's going to do it.
When Sam comes back,
mm-hmm.
I think let's do a little segue. You know, let's talk movie. Real quick, before Sam was up, I watched American Psycho for the first time, which was crazy. And we were texting about this. I don't know if you caught the conversation.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was all there.
Really interesting movie.
Right.
I thought it looked just visually looked amazing. And I just loved all the character. Like, Christian Bale in that movie, I just love. Yeah, just everything about him, just how stuff would tick him off. Like when they were showing each other the cards, and he saw the guy's cards, and he was kind of like
box
eggshell,
eggshell.
He wanted to murder Paul Allen. Yeah, his card was better than his. Yeah.
Just there's so many weird things that are kind of funny in that movie. Like one of and just his fat, like you just you know, just kind of
meticulously made. Yeah,
I just liked it.
One of my favorite parts from that movie is where they get the cocaine from that guy and they go into the bathroom to take it and it ends up being baking soda.
Yeah.
They said it was like sugar.
They said
something.
It was like sugar and something like that.
If we do enough of it.
We'll
get the same effect.
One thing, I mean, in a way, I guess, sorry to ruin the ambiguity, but I actually found this out several years after I first saw the movie. The director of the film, what was her name? Was it Catherine Turner? Something Turner. She actually did an AMA on Reddit, and she even said straight up, everything happened. Yeah. He didn't imagine everything. It was just a mix of his own psychosis, where he'd like, you know, the ATM telling him to feed a stray cat, and maybe I think those grandiose explosions when he was, you know, shooting at the cops. That stuff is exaggerated by his mind, but he definitely killed everybody.
That kid, nice work. Say hi.
Also the book is way
worse.
Way. They couldn't put everything in it.
Yeah, they couldn't. Because cannibalism.
Well, there's that, and there's just
Some other
mutilations of parts, and it's
mutilation.
Just,
yeah.
And other it's
bad.
It's a great movie though.
Great movie. See, don't bring your kids.
Yeah, really. You really
don't bring your kids.
Yeah, put them in a bed for that don't one.
Kids
keep
them not
approved. Far away from that movie.
So Sam on cue. I just want to get. I don't know if Ramin is even in the realm of game, but the creator of Final Fantasy Tactics, who is no longer with Square Enix, is now
Square Penis.
Oh God, dang it, Tim!
Sorry.
It's after hours.
That is not approved by Pete Livingston, athletic director of Sonoma Valley Boys and Girls.
My
Clubs.
Apologies.
Trademark.
That's right, trademark.
It's a body part.
Yeah, I guess. But
my mistake.
Started a Kickstarter to do his own
sequel
in the realm of
Final Fantasy,
but indirectly, not really, right. But kind of deal. Exactly. A quote, we'll call it a quote unquote
spiritual
sequel,
successor.
Spiritual successor to Final Fantasy Tactics.
When did the Kickstarter go up?
Like 4 days ago.
How much money does he want?
He wants $600,000.
$10.
I guarantee all the $10 that I could give him,
What do you get for 10,000 Timbucks? Personal dinner with Zold.
I do wonder how much it would cost for you to be the main character's name. You get to name the main character.
50 grand.
That'd be incredible.
If you can name the currency, 10 bucks.
Yes! I will bid that!
TB.
So it's I'm going to start my own Kickstarter. This is my own Kickstarter that I'm going to start.
You gain 8,000 TB.
So I need to raise this much amount of money, not in 30 days because it's, you know, it's 4 days after, yeah, but like in 24 days. And I want to be the guy that bets the most so that I can name the currency Timbucks.
That'd be awesome if you could do a Kickstarter to raise money to give to another Kickstarter. Yeah. I'm raising this money so I can get this number one thing.
Kickstarter gives another Kickstarter.
But yeah. I think that's really cool. He doesn't have, of course, they don't have footage done because they're doing all the concept art and all that stuff.
Right.
But
Sam, your thoughts?
Wow.
There you go. What did Sam, you wanted to talk about something? Or no?
Oh, well, I closed it. It's
okay.
Oh God! And this computer is incapable of.
It's all right.
Basic basic functions.
Why don't you talk a little bit about it?
I just hit Ramin in the face with the mic. I'm sorry.
You hit a kid with glasses.
I'm sorry.
This is why I don't wear my glasses.
What was it? What was it kind of Sam? What was it kind of?
What was it in the realm of? What would you?
What? Oh, well, the Wii U is stinking it up, apparently.
You do not.
Oh, yeah, from a sales Harbaugh perspective.
Yeah. You know,
people are, yeah.
They knocked sales. One, hold on.
The Xbox One is doing it, too. None of the next-gen systems are selling. The Xbox One had a great start.
Well, they were talking about Nintendo stock went down a bunch.
Well, the thing is, they did, hold on, I'm trying to.
Oh, go ahead.
Nintendo knocked their entire sales projection for their units sold from, like, 9-point-something million down to like 2.4 million by March.
Yeah,
that's how bad it is right now.
Yeah, that's a 75%.
So it's gonna be the PS3 of this generation. I think it's gonna start slow and then it's gonna build up.
I don't understand this whole idea of next gen consoles being like, because people wanted a big sell front like the Xbox One had. They had like 3 million sold in the first week or some ridiculous number like that. But, like, if you're selling $10 million over the course of 2 years, or 10 million consoles over the course of 2 years, it doesn't matter if you're selling them at a constant amount or if you're... Whoa, what are you guys doing?
That's nothing.
But to me, it doesn't... And this is where I love Japan more than the United States, because Japan... Hi. They believe in stable economic growth as opposed to giant steps, right? They care about, you know, steady improves.
But that's what's going to happen, I think.
Yeah.
Look at
that's what Nintendo always does.
But look
actually
at every console launch. Like, I mean, I want to bet. I'll bet $3. I bet Tree Fitty. That if you go back and look at when PlayStation 2 was released, obviously there's a huge spike in the first like couple months, and it's usually during the holiday season, and then it dips for a while because, I mean, the people that can afford it or want it are going to get it immediately. And then everybody else is going to wait. I didn't get a PlayStation 2 until 2 years after it came out. I didn't get a PlayStation 3 until 2 years after it came out. And it's not because I couldn't afford it or I didn't want it. I did, but I just didn't see a utility at the time for me because all the games that I enjoyed playing were still on PlayStation 2. Right now, I still like a lot of the games on PlayStation 3. Once they release a full library of games for the next generation, more so when I can justify buying a $400 console for more than one game, mm-hmm, then I'll definitely look into it.
And I was talking about that with a couple of my buddies yesterday, was that right now, I don't see a PS4 in my future until Metal Gear Solid 5 comes out, and if Kingdom Hearts 3 finally gets finished.
Oh, my goodness. Right. Oh, Haley Joel Osment just did an AMA.
Right.
They asked him. He said that he just knows that it's in production.
Yeah.
And he said, I haven't been told anything, but whenever I get a phone call, I'm starting.
And that's the thing. It's like they've been really working on production. They got the they had the preview that was made at the Japan Game Show a couple months ago that people are stoked about. But it's very early. But yeah, it's like I don't like Wii right now.
I have a kid. I'm so tired.
Wii right now for me, the virtual console is a bigger deal than the Wii. Than the Wii U.
Step that up a little bit.
By the way, yesterday I played both
DayZ.
I played DuckTales Remastered.
DuckTales.
Woo!
Tales of daring do, bad and good luck.
By the way, it was really cool hearing that song live. by Suburban Legend. I was like,
oh, yes.
What is going
That's
on?
That's right.
I was at the concert. They're like, DuckTales. Woo-hoo. Wait, is this real? Is this like a real thing happening?
I posted on Ramin's Facebook. It was like, be prepared for Disney songs because Suburban Legends is from Orange County and they always play Disneyland. And so they play at the Tomorrowland Terrace every Friday night. And they've incorporated...
They started in Downtown Disney.
They started in Downtown Disney. They played at this ska show I went to like in 2005, where Real Big Fish were the headliners, just like they were this show at the Phoenix last week. And they started incorporating Disney songs. And so they did I Just Can't Wait to Be King from The Lion King.
Yep, they did, yeah.
They did the DuckTales theme song.
I didn't see that you posted that until after I'd heard all their songs. And I was like, that was the most randomly cool blast of the past that's ever happened.
Yeah. So...
I think I'm going to have to get back to the Casa.
You
guys can stay if you want, but I'm going to walk
back. Do we have anything else, or are we kind of okay for the show here? Samuel, what? Do we have anything else?
Oh, this guy that worked on Earthbound apparently won his book. He had like personal experiences working on the book, and like how it kind of got him where he is today. It got squashed by Nintendo. Did we even mention that before?
No, we haven't.
Oh, well, that got posted on Destructoid, and I thought it was worth mentioning.
Ooh.
He wanted to... I think it had a Kickstarter, actually. Well, anyways, it was really interesting that it got, you know, it got squashed. But actually, I don't blame them, because it might have spoiled a lot if they... You know,
well, and also Nintendo still owns the rights and all that good stuff. So,
oh, by the way, I finally got the page to work. The spiritual sequel to Tactics is called Unsung Story, and it's looking pretty snazzy. It's just concept art, but it's like I'm glad this is happening.
Cool.
I never played Final Fantasy.
It's the Tactics. Play Tactics for sure.
But I did, I played Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, and I was like, dude, this rocks.
Right.
Yeah.
Kingdom Hearts 3 will be fun.
I was all about Goofy and Donald and the freaking Keyblades.
Throwing shields. Throwing shields.
What kind of bums me out is like, before I play Kingdom Hearts 3, whenever that comes out, I'm totally going to want to play 1 and 2 again, but jeez, I don't have a PlayStation 2 anymore.
Yeah.
Or the time to like...
Or the 100 hours.
Yeah.
No,
or the 100 hours.
I did a replay of Kingdom Hearts 2, I think right when I came back from Florida a couple years ago, because I'd just finished Final Fantasy 13. I was like, what do I want to play? Oh, I'll play Kingdom Hearts 3. 60 hours later...
Oh my goodness.
That was just like, I finished Xenoblade Chronicles last week. 150 hours.
Did you time yourself?
No, it's set on my save, 151 and whatever. And so I spent literally a week of my life playing that game.
That's what I miss about, honestly, it's what I really miss about old school video games. The new ones, I mean, they put so much effort into how they look. And like GTA is pretty much probably like the only current game out there now with the highest production value that takes more than 2 days to beat.
Right.
You know, I remember talking a while back about, what was it? The zombie game.
Last of Us.
Yeah. Right. I beat it in like 2 days.
Right.
And I only played, you know what, 8 hours? I beat it in longer than 2 days, sorry. I beat it in maybe like 3 days or something. And it was, I don't know. It didn't seem hours. Like it was that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, there are only certain types of games. Like the Uncharted games, you can beat the Uncharted games in 5-10 hours if you wanted to.
Oh.
If you don't want to watch all the cutscenes.
Yeah, yeah. And like Metal Gear? Oh, man. Metal Gear took me like 3 weeks to beat.
But then there are some styles that lend themselves to a lot of hours just because of the way they are, like RPGs and stuff like
open
that.
World.
Open worlds, yeah. But like...
But open world
They have to be engaging, right? They have to be freaking engaging.
Well, there's that, and there's got to be a lot to do. Like, for example, in a GTA sort of a game, there's a lot to do. You don't have to necessarily do the missions. But one thing that I liked about first, like Kingdom Hearts, didn't really even direct you at all. You just kind of had to figure out where to go, and I like that.
Yeah,
you know, and by doing that, you also discover a lot of stuff on the way. Instead of here's an arrow, follow it.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 2 is a little bit too linear, and I think that had to do with some people with the first game not liking. And so they did that with like Final Fantasy and stuff. They made it pretty linear, but like 10 and 13 were two of the most linear games I've ever played in my entire life. But with the third one, I'm very interested to see which way they go. We'll see what happens.
Do they bring back Utada Hikaru for the main song? Or is it going to be like Rihanna or something?
Yeah, they'll bring If you have a J-pop group that you would like to do the song for Kingdom Hearts 3, let us know.
Yeah, and we can start a Kickstarter for it.
We'll start a Kickstarter for it.
Oh, so Unsung Story, I was going to say, it is at the 60-something percent mark, but it's out of 600 grand, it's at 373.
Oh, it's going to get there.
Yeah, it's still out 25 days ago.
How much is it if I want to make 10 bucks the currency of this game?
It says, please give me a lap dance, and you must go and pay me
$100,000. I can't pay in lap dance.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, man.
Pledge $10,000 or more, receive $400
rewards. So the $400 rewards level.
Plus a Skype meeting with the Playdeck team to go in production, an Unsung Story development t-shirt, have your face in the game as an NPC or soldier, receive a personally made
Gickly frame,
Gisly Gickly art piece, art frame created and signed by the Playdeck art team. Receive an invitation to the Unsung Story launch party and have dinner and drinks with Joel Goodman, Gary Weiss, Jeff Garstecki, Yasumi Matsuono, and more in Japan. Travel and did I not even include the travel for my $10,000 donation? You can't fly me out there. Come on.
I want to make my own Kickstarter where if I pay $28, they will make the Timbuk the official. Bring it on.
Do they have any of the $10,000 ones? Has anyone donated that?
No, they have five left, and there's five.
What's the most one person's donated?
Let's see here. Scroll.
Well, has anyone donated?
Well, scroll down, Sam. You want
to
see?
To just before the 10,000.
Yeah, you're going too fast. You're going way too fast.
Well, there's no.
Well, no, you go up, and you'll see who has pledged. So if you keep going up, 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 keep going up. So none.
I was just up here.
So one. So one. $5,000 has done $5,000.
So what is that? It's the same.
So that's thing. That's the Skype meeting, a T-shirt, NPC, the Gickly, spend a day at the Playdeck office in Burbank, play games, and receive an invitation to the launch party.
That's pretty cool.
I bet.
I mean, if you got $5,000 lying around, I mean.
Hey, shout outs.
Martin Luther King. Shout outs to Navarro Bowman. Still love you.
We love you. Hope your MRI goes well in the morning, man. Sorry.
Hopefully you got a broken leg. I'm hoping for a broken leg.
Which is so weird to be saying.
I know.
Warriors? Warriors. Dubs. That loss at home to Denver killed me.
That was the worst. The Oklahoma City I could handle, but the one. Oh.
That game sucked. You score 121 points and KD goes off for 54. That's just like...
He was just unconscious that game. Couldn't. But you know what's weird? I feel like the Warriors, it happens to them that more than any other team. Like Joe Johnson, again, in that Brooklyn game when they couldn't win 10 in a row. Or was it break the record for road wins in a row. Guy's averaging like 16 points a game. But yeah, okay. He's had a couple hot games. Last two, he was cold. It drops, what, like 29 or something on them?
Yeah. KD, though.
Nate Robinson in that Denver game? That was... Are you kidding me with that? It was just hucking them up there. They were going in.
KD, when it comes to ESPN games. What the hell? What the... What, Harrison... What? What? Harrison Young. Harrison Young is joining us in studio. That mic 4 doesn't work. You have to share with Ramin. What the... Where'd you come from?
I just needed to keep my consecutive show.
Ah! Nice. So, welcome. Warriors still on pace for 50 wins.
They can do that. Bench got a lot better with just Jordan Crawford. Oh.
Yeah. Maybe they can get something out of Marshawn Brooks, just squeeze something out of him.
What happened? Hold on. I just question. What happened to Marshawn Brooks? He had a great rookie season. Yeah. And then what? He just like fell off the face of the earth. What actually happened to him?
I don't know, man.
I always wonder how that happens. Like, you have a great rookie. I mean, does everyone just adjust to you? I mean,
why did when Joel Anthony got traded, the Heat went up to Washington and lost by 20?
Yeah, that was really weird. Yeah, the Heat, for being such a great team, they randomly get blown out.
They
by
take
some
nights
bad
off.
Teams.
No, they're taking nights off.
Really?
They're totally taking nights off.
They
don't care. They know the Pacers are going to go all out to get the one seed. So the question is, can they win it in six against the Pacers? That's what this has become.
You really think so?
Yeah. No, they totally are. They don't care about the one seed this year.
You're right.
This is Chicago in 98. They don't care.
Because I've seen games with LeBron where, I mean, they just take bad shots because they'd rather save, you know, like that driving and all that body contact and drawing the foul. Just put up mid-range J. Yeah. If it goes in, it goes in. If it doesn't, meh.
Sure, whatever.
The 98 Bulls.
I still can't believe Reggie hit that shot. Anyway, Harrison, welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
All right.
Facebook Showdown, Friday, how was it?
It was amazing.
I saw that there was a Cody Mirror matchup.
There was.
And
it was awesome.
And it was incredible because, as you're calling out, they knew combos.
They knew combos.
They knew combos.
That's, you know,
combo breaker.
It was awesome.
That's a tough thing to ask for.
Cody Mirror. And they were using Ultra 2, which was awesome.
They were.
I was like, they've been watching Harrison Young play.
I would like to believe so.
I got to think that. You got to think they were like sitting there like, we got to play like this Harrison Young cat. That's awesome. And who ended up winning?
Sony. Or, sorry, PlayStation.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ooh.
They double OCV'd, or advanced reverse OCV'd twice to win it.
What the
He's
hell?
Just too good, man. He doesn't play anymore, and he still bodies people. It's ridiculous.
Who do you use?
Zangief, right?
Zangief.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I saw that, too. That's I was just ridiculous. Like, wow. Just, he is the team.
That's not cool.
But Netflix also had some good players as
oh.
well.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Dawson, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I saw that.
And there's some super sick Super Turbo.
Nice.
Games also.
Nice, nice, nice.
So many just, oh, God, people are just getting crushed in that game.
Tomorrow, Wyoming. Big Smash crowd
yeah, that's
coming.
I heard there's a bunch of Smash
Heard
people.
Two dozen.
Yeah, something like that.
SF community, come out because you need to be bigger than the Smash community.
I'll go.
You know,
I'll
there's
go.
Like over 30,000 people watching Apex Smash today.
Really?
Yeah.
On a Sunday.
Yeah.
All right, go get them. Nice.
On like a playoff football Sunday, which is ridiculous.
You think we get 10,000 tomorrow night?
10,000?
10,000 tomorrow night?
Not even close.
No. Do we get like 500?
That'd be cool.
Is the viewership of Wyoming Dojo going to be higher than the listenership of this show?
I think so.
Okay.
Because of this show.
I mean, you know, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Show That Sucks Tuesday. It'll be 62.
62.
So this will be the Mark McGwire show because he hit 62 homers.
He'll never make it into the Hall of Fame because...
Sad.
Is Mark McGwire, do you think he's a Hall of Fame caliber player?
Importance for the game, yeah. It's kind of his numbers aren't as great as other sluggers.
Go ahead.
Importance of the game. He doesn't have his 98 season. Baseball's in the doldrums for another 10 years. Until TV contracts expire.
Bud Selig owes that guy.
That's right.
And, you know, it's all been talked about. I mean, I'm sure you guys talked about it when all this malarkey kind of came out with Dan Le Batard and the Hall of Fame process, but you know, one of the main things that I read that was interesting was I was reading the tweets of all these journalists, like, you know, John Heyman and, you know, guys from ESPN, from, you know, MLB Network, whatever, and Hank Schulman, even Giants own writers and stuff, and they're all spewing this sanctimonious BS by, you know, people, you know, writers saying why I left Barry Bonds off the ballot, why I left whoever off the ballot, because baseball is about, you know, honor, integrity, respecting the game. And I'm sitting there, and it's like, it's not just all about performance and things. So Ty Cobb had integrity.
Right.
He was a respectable man.
The most racist guy who spiked everybody going in the second base.
He beat the crap out of a disabled person in the stands in the middle of a game. You have guys like that. You put him in the Hall of Fame.
Cy Young was a notorious racist.
Absolutely. A lot of players from back in the day were completely against desegregating baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and... Well, then you also have the period in the, you know, 50s and 60s when everybody was doing amphetamines.
And the 70s.
You have guys like, you know, Hank Aaron.
Yeah, the Pirates in 79.
Hank Greenberg.
Who were the first people doing cocaine. Yeah.
People like that. They were admitting, no, oh yeah, we were hopped up on amphetamines. How's that any different than, Adderall or something?
But it's all timing, right? So all these guys grew up with these players. And so now that they're there... They're waxing philosophy about the game and saying, you know, I grew up with my idols, Willie Mays and Hank Aaron. And it's like, right. So now that the information has been presented to you that maybe it's a little bit different than what you thought, you're going to, oh, no, whatever. So you mean like the information that's being presented about these players? Oh, yeah, I don't care.
Well, that's like growing up with somebody who was, let's just say like, screwing people out a bunch of money or stealing a bunch from somebody. And then you get older and you become a cop and then there's other people that are stealing from people. So you arrest them, But then when people were like, yeah, but this guy spent his whole life stealing. Oh, yeah, but that's different because I knew him and it's not the same thing. It was different. The circumstances were different.
Don't steal, folks.
No, don't steal. Baseball has eras. Like every sport, it has eras. The NFL has eras. Basketball has eras. There's no shot clock. There was no three-point play. It was different. Baseball had a dead ball era. There was a period of time when no minorities played. Okay? It was just not the same game. Then you had a period when it was desegregated. Then you had a period where everyone was doing amphetamines and expansion. Then you had a period of Latin and African-American domination. Now you have a period – then you have a period of steroids. And then now you're back to like a pitching period. But these are all different parts of the game, and they should be treated as such. The Hall of Fame, it's all history. It should be judged as such, not, you know, a gentleman's club that only, you know, the – I don't know, whoever these sanctimonious writers deem –
you guess the Georgia baseball. Take that, Masters.
Yeah, it's pretty much that.
Barry Bonds for the Hall of Fame. Harrison would say yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 10 times over.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Probably the best. No, not probably. Hands down, the single greatest hitter,
yeah,
I would say, in baseball history.
Ted Williams is the only guy who putt close.
Yeah, and Babe Ruth, I mean, yeah, he dominated his era like nobody's mm-hmm. business, but guy didn't play against people that were very good.
Nope.
The level of talent was just huge gap, actually.
True statement. Yep. Anything else?
Oh, pitchers and catchers report in 25 days for the Giants.
Bring people. It on, baby.
Just that's all. I mean, the Warriors are going to be around. The Sharks are going to be around. But we all know what we're all waiting for. You can hang on 25 more days. On Valentine's Day, pitchers and catchers report.
I need to see that Ryan Vogel song. Bring it on.
What about Eric Threets?
What about, didn't they? So they signed Blanco and who else?
One-year deals, yeah.
Petit. Yeah. So did they? I heard they still don't know about Belt yet.
Belt wanted $3.6 million. The Giants offered just over $2 million. So this thing's going to arbitration. Chances are the Giants are going to offer something like $2.8 or $3 million, and then they're going to get their money. Or they're just going to straight up offer him an extension. But, yeah, Belt wants to get paid. And chances are if they go to arbitration, he's going to get paid.
Yeah. OBP is great. He's out, yeah.
Yeah, he'll get his money. So
It usually never goes to arbitration.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's not going to get outright release. They're going to pay him his money, but they want to try and get it as cheap as they can.
People don't understand. Arbitration is going through the process. It's not great for the organization or the player because you basically have to prove to the arbiter why you don't want to pay this guy that much money. So you have to basically talk bad about your own player.
Right.
Oh, he couldn't do this. He couldn't do that. You know, he struck out a lot. He, you know, doesn't play his position well. Whatever. It hurts. You don't want that.
Right.
You know. So it's always good to come to an agreement, and they usually do.
I want to just see Buster Posey at home.
And they need that first baseman so badly.
So bad. So bad. But yeah, Giants coming down the pike. Thank you for joining us. And like I said, all these shows are now in full. Shows going forward will be in full. Enjoy them.
What does that mean?
It means
I will be on the show.
That's right. He'll be on the show. Just because show that sucks, Tuesday nights, twitch.tv/iPlayWinner. Also follow Harrison at Harrison SBA. You can also see tomorrow night I will be on there eSporting it up with Harrison, with sandwiches in hand.
Yes.
From Ike's, doing our Street Fighter and our commentary.
Adam Richman.
Getting that Adam Richman, and also getting that Smash. We might have to stream Smash. Can you believe that?
You know, I would be like, but you know, they got like 35,000 people watching it. So I mean, I'm gonna be like, I think
kind of want that viewership, yeah. Right? Get them viewers. And then also Ramin Rezvani, Sports dot com. You can follow him at Rezvani Ramin, RezvaniRamin. That's RezvaniRamin. MIN, sorry. Follow him, Next Impulse Sports. He's got a Twitter link there, too, so if you don't want to spell that out, that I understand. But thank you for joining us. 90-minute show! Congratulations.
Hey, all right.
McChickens aren't very good.
No, bad McChickens. But will we be back next week? Shout out to Sam.